This is AgriPulse Open Mic. I'm your host, Jeff Daly. Our guest this week is Patrick Ewan, Board Chairman of the Council of Producers and Distributors of Agrotechnology. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by NCIS, the National Crop Insurance Services. Crop insurance, the smartest and most efficient way to secure America's food, fiber, and fuel supply. AgriPulse Open Mic continues with CPDA's Patrick Ewan next. Today's Open Mic segment is brought to you by America's crop insurance industry, which is thankful for the continued support of farmers, commodity organizations, rural businesses, lenders, and lawmakers who are fighting to maintain a strong farm safety net, providing individualized protection on more than 530 million acres of farmland. Crop insurance remains the smartest, most efficient way to secure America's food, fiber, and fuel supply. This is AgriPulse Open Mic. This week's guest is Patrick Ewan, who's just been elected chair of the Council of Producers and Distributors of Agrotechnology. He's also general manager of Helena Products Group. Ewan says Helena's goal of balancing growth of agriculture with protection of the land and consumers is consistent with all major players in the industry, and they're working to provide sustainable solutions for growers and the globe.
Yeah, I mean, that particular statement, Jeff, that would go across our industry. You know, for example, whether it's Helena or any other member companies of the CPDA, that's a primary focus. I mean, we look at really protecting the freedom to operate and expanding, you know, all of our member companies' opportunities through focus, regulatory, and policy engagement.
Last week on this program, we had Jonathan Spalter. He's the president and CEO of U.S. Telecom. And, of course, the nation has a goal of universal connectivity. But he brought out the number of regulations and the number of policies that are still on the books that are preventing these companies from being able to bring an acceptable bandwidth to consumers to the last mile. Do you find in your industry that there are regulations, that there are challenges from a regulatory front or a consumer acceptance front that are preventing companies like yours from achieving sustainability goals?
I would say absolutely, Jeff. You know, if I just look at some of our core priorities, I can tell you from a CPDA core priority standpoint, regulatory efficiency and reform is one area we really spend a lot of time in advocating. We're really pursuing timely and predictable regulatory actions for our member companies, which is our member products that, for example, can reduce backlogs and certainly protect confidential business information. But give you a few examples there. We've been working diligently on EPA backlog reduction. You know, we've worked with the EPA to develop and implement, you know, really specific strategies that address registration backlog for our member companies. And we're making progress there is the really good thing. I don't have the stats in front of me, but I do know that non-PREA backlog is down 40% this year alone. And PREA backlogs are down 9%, and I would say all of that's been influenced by CPDA advocacy. So again, EPA backlog, PREA reforms, we're also working with states such as California from backlog reduction. But that's where we spend our time. Yes, there's some environmental stewardship and that we're working through around ESA implementation. You know, we're advocating for the Endangered Species Act strategies and implementation approaches that certainly protect the species while preserving acres and driving markets for our member companies. Another example within that is around drift reduction technology. You know, to give you an idea there, you know, we were able to get adjuvants, DRA adjuvants, as a mitigation tool to reduce buffer zones within the ESA herbicide strategy. You know, I could go on and on about all the collaborative things that we're doing to really look out for all of our customers and the member companies at CPDA, but absolutely, there's some things that get into law that certainly we want to bring those issues forefront. We want a seat at the table to be able to talk about those things, and we want to bring solid information from expertise across the industry to get in front of our lawmakers to really bring the voice of our customer. And one thing I can tell you that I'm really proud of is I think the lawmakers look at some of our CPDA members that have had the opportunity to be in front of them is not only knowledgeable, but bringing really sound, common sense ideas to some of these regulatory policies that are potentially becoming law. We've had the opportunity to sit in front of the Senate, also sit in front of the House, both on the Ag committees, to really lobby and talk about good common sense practices that will help our customers.
Well, I can see why the ag retailer, the applicator, the farmer, and the neighbors would be concerned about spray drift. So the natural thought would be to increase the buffer zone between the sides. But as you suggest, there is technology available in adjuvants and in the way that certain chemistries are applied that can achieve the goal of the concern and still allow for the products to be used efficiently.
Yes, we've gotten DRA adjuvants as a mitigation tool to reduce buffer zones. Now we're moving to the stage of really educating what is ESA, what are the requirements for the producers, and what are the mitigation tools to make sure that we keep productive acreage that is in the areas that are in the restrictions to be able to maximize the potential we can plant and produce crops. You know, one thing I wanted to mention, too, a couple things that CPDA has done through EPA working groups is we've met several times face-to-face with the registration division there at EPA. Some results out of that were we got a new CSF policy on non-notification for state-specific labels. We've got ongoing discussion on more self-certification to reduce the backlog. And really the thing that I'll underscore and say again is I think we've got a seat at the table to represent post-patent on new PREA 6 policies. So really what I want to get at, Jeff, is I'm trying to put out a few things to really show the efforts of CPDA and some of the connectivity we've made through our collaboration with lawmakers.
It sounds like you've made some progress, even though the EPA is working with a reduced staff to be able to increase the output in terms of certification for products.
You're absolutely correct. I'll give you an example there. Leading up to that, CPDA member companies really lobbied that, you know, we were paying approximately around 30% more for PREA fees. And then if you looked at what Congress appropriators had funded the EPA ops budget, around 80% of the agreed upon amount. So we really lobbied to increase that funding. And currently the EPA budget is in fact down, I think 20-22%, but the funding for EPA ops is flat. So when we looked at that landscape there, we considered it a win, considering that we kept that EPA ops budget flat in a budget cycle that was down 22%.
So this summer, CPDA and CropLife America, you had a joint meeting. First of all, why was there a joint meeting, and what common goals did you walk away from with that meeting that are helping you with your strategic plan and moving ahead?
Simply put, their voice and our voice are stronger together. We share a lot of views that are facing our industry. And anytime we can get that many stakeholders together in one room, one conference that share commonality for our producer and the importance of advocating for them, just great things happen. You get great ideas. You get to really circle back on what we're focused on. And there's just a lot of productivity that comes out of that. We were certainly thankful for CLA, ARA for the opportunities to collaborate in that environment.
How much of a headache does it cause your industry that some states want to put their own warning labels or put their own labels on products? That's before Washington now. If this isn't resolved, what's the downside?
Well, the workload is huge. I think if you look at, you know, let's just say theoretically, if you had, you know, 40 to 50 different versions of that, you know, we have a lot of that going on today, and getting more consistency with one label certainly makes us a lot more efficient. So I know, speaking for my own company I work with, and I'm sure many of other companies that we advocate for through CPDA, is getting one label right and broad enough that it fits a majority of the states certainly is the path we'd love to travel. But it can be quickly really inefficient if you think about the magnitude of what, if each state label had to be that much different from the next, how many inefficiencies come into that?
Well, you're kind of darned if you do and darned if you don't. Now, if you comply with the EPA, but yet you allow states to have individual labels, you've broken the federal law, but then you may be breaking a state law.
Very true. A lot of truth in that. You know, and we deal both in things that are EPA approved from a federal standpoint, but we've also got things such as adjuvant, certain fertilizers and stuff that are basically on state registration. So, you know, it's a balancing act. You know, certainly we want to protect the environment, but we also want to bring the most efficient label to our producers that are actually buying the products, spraying the products, and using the products to increase their overall productivity. So, you know, it's a balancing. It's kind of like dancing on a razor blade, so to speak, because you really want to accomplish the best thing for the producer, but at the same time, you want to protect the environment as well.
Then maybe the elephant in the room is the other challenge that you face, and that is an uncertain farm economy. Not just difficult for the producer, but difficult for the retailer and the agrochemical manufacturer.
No question about it. You know, visiting with a lot of producers that we work with, what they need is they need a market. And you look back at some of the prices, and you look at the compound annual growth, you look at their expenses over time versus what they're getting for the price of their product today. You know, I saw an example the other day, looking at what corn was in 1974, and we're at the same price, and looking at the amount of cost that it cost a producer to raise a crop, you know, just from equipment to interest to input products, rent. He or she may own their land, but if you put all that together, I was just a kid back in the early 80s, but I can remember my father and the tough times they went through there. I think we have some areas today that are faced with those very same situations that we saw back then. So hopefully we get a market. Hopefully we can get commodity prices through that market in line with some of the crops that we're producing to feed the world. And we can get our farmers in a place that not only we can help them grow productive crops, but we can right-size it to the market and get them a good price for the crops they are producing. If you go across the countryside, all areas are stretched. Some are really probably stretched and probably in a position they haven't been in several decades. It's tough out here today.
When I've talked to representatives of commodity organizations and general farm organizations, they would suggest that this situation is not one-sided. It's multidimensional. There are so many different things that are hitting farmers and producers at the same time. Senator Grassley, when he was calling for Washington to act and provide a financial bridge for producers to get into and through the 26 crop season, he said we also need to add E15 year-round, and we need to take a look into input costs and why they have gone up so much. A lot of the members of your council are those who are manufacturing, distributing, providing these products. Would you concur with the senator's look at that, or is there a statement that you would make from your side?
Well, the first thing I'd say is I 100% agree with their comments. You know, it's multifaceted. You know, there's certainly crop inputs that are lower have gone down in price, but you know, you get on the other side, there's some that are high. You know, you can look at a lot of different areas, you know, where a lot of the manufacturing's come from in the past. You know, the tariffs are affecting that. You overlay interest on top of that. weather, also, regulatory that can affect them. You know, it's not any one thing that's really got it. It's just, as I said, it's multifaceted, you know, whether it's, you know, some may say, well, it's my equipment. Some may say, well, it's my interest. Some may say I have no market. Some say it's rent, interest. I think it's all those things that are really squeezing in. You know, if you look at over the past decade or so, you've always had some things from a grower standpoint that would seem a little bit out of balance, but you always had, you know, something on the other side of that equation that was helping them get through it. I think it's everything has really stacked up on the wrong side here, and it's really got them in a position that when they don't have a market and they've got such huge cost increase, it just got them in a place that we haven't seen this bad in a number of years. And weather has impacted that in some of these areas too. But if you sum all that up, we've got to have a market. We've got to have a market to be able to compete.
Well, when times get tough, it's really easy to point fingers. And there's lots of finger pointing going on today. There are some that are pointing a finger at the manufacturers, at the distributors, at the retailers, and say, you guys are just rooking us. You know, you're gouging the producer. The other side of that is you have your own set of circumstances that you have to deal with that have increased your cost of production too.
I absolutely agree with that. I don't think there's any gouging going on for sure. I think, you know, if anything, is our cost of doing business to get products, to build them, to get over here, to be able to get to our farmers has gone up, and we're not getting to pass all of that on by no means. If anything, we're working more to hold that and working more with them to help them with the overall financing side to be able to get this crop in. So what I would say, certainly from our perspective, is we're affected immensely by it, as well as they are, but we're not trying to ignore their position. We're trying to get in the trenches with them and say, how do we work together, collaborate, and get you through this, so hopefully at some point in the near future, we can both come out the other side in a good spot to where we continue to bring you great products, good knowledge, and overall operational efficiencies, you know, for the future. But it's tough on the industry as a whole.
With the regulatory headwinds that you face from Washington and from states, are we at risk of the U.S. not being the lead or being the first to have new technologies for producers to be able to achieve sustainability productivity goals?
I'd say certainly that risk is there. You know, the U.S. has always been the first mover on this. We still today, Jeff, produce overall productivity, ag productivity leads the way. But yes, I think there are some countries, specifically, you know, South American countries, there are some others that have stepped out and willing to pull in newer technologies. But yes, they're faced with some of the same issues we are. What I would say, if you looked at them as competition, which I think they can be on many fronts from growing crops, I think that gap is narrowing. I think they're learning how to produce better. They're getting better logistics. I don't have any specific examples, but I think you would have some that would argue their regulatories may be more open to try our new technology sooner. But I think it should be a priority and should be a focus, this U.S. market and all the members who participate in this market and bring technology to this market to work with our lawmakers to say, let's maintain our number one position in productivity. Let's get a market and right size their productivity to the market, and let's continue to lead and bring new innovation so we can not only feed the world, but we've got a really sound agronomic system here that is bringing a safe food supply to the world, but also protecting our environment. I'm proud to say I believe the U.S. still leads in this space, but again, it has narrowed, and we need to continue to focus our efforts to put us back on the path to making sure that we protect producer across this great country that has really fed the world for some time now.
Patrick, let's say you have the opportunity to go into a room and you've got Brooke Rollins, the Secretary of Agriculture. You've got Lee Zeldin, the Administrator of the EPA. And then you have the chair and the ranking member of both the House and the Senate Agriculture Committees. If you could walk into that room and tell them this is what we need to achieve our goals, what would you tell them?
Well, first and foremost, I think we've got to have an immediate plan to something to help bridge these producers to get them through the situation that we're in today without really out a solid market to offset their cost of production. That's first and foremost. From there, I think we really look at, from Zeldin's standpoint on the EPA, is how do we reduce backlogs on technology they currently have sitting at the EPA. And I do think that he and his team are working hard to reduce backlogs so we get that technology through the EPA. From there, I would go in to say, yes, all stakeholders within the ag industry want to continue to protect our environment, but we got to have really sound common sense laws. And, you know, with ESA, which is important, you know, how do we preserve acres while still driving markets to keep our overall productivity up for the American producer? To do these things, you know, again, you've got to have funding priorities. You know, how are we going to fund, you know, appropriations? How are we going to, you know, engage Congress to ensure that EPA ops has the resources, you know, to effectively review and approve technology coming through that pipeline? Farm bill is huge, not only just the bridge that I just mentioned, but also how do we get a good farm bill that works for the American producer? And through that, we've got to have good communication, bringing great common sense information to lawmakers, but also when we do get laws, how do we get that back out to make sure that we can steward them and make sure that, you know, our producers understand what the law is, and if there's things within the farm bill that we hopefully get, how are we maximizing that? Those would be the key things that I would really dig into with that group of lawmakers that you mentioned.
Well, Patrick Ewan, we congratulate you on your chairmanship of the Council of Producers and Distributors of Agritechnology and your work there for the Helena Products Group. Thanks for being with us on this edition of Open Mic. Patrick, it is Open Mic, and today, sir, you've got the last word.
Well, Jeff, I'd just say thanks for having me on, having these discussions. There's a lot working across the industry. Again, I want to say that, you know, the CPDA is the Council of Producers and Distributors of Agritechnology. We are a voice of agritechnology. Our group represents about 90% of a $15 billion U.S. crop protection market. And for over 40 years, we've united manufacturers, formulators, and distributors that are committed to advancing sustainable agriculture through innovative crop protection products, adjuvants, and inerts that help the American farmer feed the world. And the last thing I would say is our vision is really for the CPDA to envision a regulated U.S. marketplace for crop protection products that foster robust competition, that encourages innovation, and enhances the understanding of risk assessment of the science behind the products that our member companies are bringing. So I just want to say thanks for having me on. It's always good to get a voice out there. Just want to say a big shout out to our producers. Thank you for what you do every day to keep this ag economy going. And certainly I hope that we get some of the issues bridged to really put us back on the path to making them not only just productive, but having a market that they can sell their crops in.
Our thanks to Patrick Ewan, Board Chairman of the Council of Producers and Distributors of Agrotechnology. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by NCIS, the National Crop Insurance Services. Crop insurance, the smartest, most efficient way to secure America's food, fiber, and fuel supply. For AgriPulse, I'm Jeff Dowling.